Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 1st, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes mostly forward, you know, sometimes a little sideways.
Well, that's just how you keep adventure and excitement in the day. Go a little sideways every now and then.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good today.
Awesome. I'm glad that you are here as well. I hope things are going forward and not sideways for you.
Yes, things are going forward.
Excellent. And hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is VideoBlocks. I've been using their stock video and image services for a little while now, and I'm pretty pleased. So I will tell you why soon. But first, Andrew, you wrote a piece yesterday where you talked about iPhone security and some things that you can do to help, iPhone privacy. So you talked about some things you can do to help keep what you're doing with your iPhone private. So I would like to dive into that a little bit and fill me in. What are some of the things that we can do to improve our privacy on our iPhones?
I gotta interrupt though.
Okay.
Because this is privacy for the paranoid.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So, Andrew, let's say for a moment that I'm paranoid and I want to enhance the privacy on my iPhone because I am paranoid. What can I do?
Well, first, I'd like to point out that if someone is really paranoid, they might not even use a smartphone at all. They might just go back to using a flip phone. Uh-huh. But we have iPhones, so there are things we can do, like turning off Touch ID. And the reason for that is there have been some court cases where the police have forced a person to hand over their fingerprint and unlock the iPhone because fingerprints can be considered as just standard evidence.
Yeah, and that's a problem because that varies from court to court. So it's hard to know, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, if your fingerprint is protected or not.
And less for the criminal standpoint is the fact that criminals could also use your finger to force you to unlock your phone.
Right.
That's true. But if you have a baseball bat, it's amazing how quickly someone will remember their passcode, even if they're not using Touch ID.
That is true. There's time and opportunity there, right?
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So disable Touch ID Now,
but there's a reason for that. It's because heretofore, courts have not allowed. It becomes a free speech issue and self-incrimination issue to be forced to give up your own passcode.
Right.
That's the principle here.
All right. So by extension, if you're using an iPhone 10, you could disable Face ID and use just a passcode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's an excellent point.
Okay. Hit me up with something else I can do.
Another thing you can do is turn off notification previews. And this is something that Apple has turned on by default in the iPhone 10. It basically prevents information from showing up in widgets on the lock screen unless you look at it with Face ID or just put your fingerprint on the home button.
And so you have to authenticate to see more than just a little box that says you have iMessages.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the difference between Suzy Q iMessage, I love you and can't wait to see you tonight, and you have a message.
And this is pretty important if you have two-factor authentication over SMS.
Oh, yeah.
That was something that I was thinking about when I wrote that.
Okay, so the light just went on for me. Let me see if I've got this straight. So if I don't have the notification thing disabled, meaning instead of seeing you have an iMessage, I see what the iMessage is. If someone else gets a hold of my phone and I'm using two-factor authentication where I get that code as a text message, they'd be able to see the code, and I've completely defeated two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Okay. That, I mean, if for no other reason, that's that right there is plenty to make people want to turn off seeing the notifications.
Previous.
Yeah.
And there are a couple different settings you can do. So you can show previews. You can select only show them when it's unlocked with your face or finger, or you can just make it so that they don't show up at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah, and I have mine set up so I see the little box that says I have messages, but it doesn't show me what those messages are until I authenticate.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me, that's the perfect balance between convenience and privacy.
Yeah. And that's actually a pretty good point. A lot of this is you just have to balance convenience over privacy.
Right. Yes. Okay. So do you have another tip for me?
So for the paranoid, you could disable any tracking that your iPhone does. Like a lot of that is in Apple Maps. Apple collects location information to show you things that are nearby or to automatically show your most frequented locations, the places where you go the most in Apple Maps.
Oh, okay. So for that, you would go to the map settings and turn that off?
It's not in Maps. This is buried in settings. So you would go to settings, privacy, location services, and then there's a section down at the bottom for system services.
Aha.
And then other tracking is the analytics that Apple introduced in iOS 11. iCloud analytics. I think there's a couple more things. And you can turn that off or keep it on, but we're paranoid, so we're going to turn it off.
So one thing that I like in those settings that I think could be handy if you're paranoid is the status bar icon option that's at the bottom of that list. So you can turn that on, and then anytime something wants to use location services, you get the icon popping up to tell you.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, and that's different from the icon just appearing there when something's being used. So, this is like an extra alert. Hey, something's trying to use location services.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so if you're really paranoid, you can turn that on and then just have an extra little alert in case something new is trying to use location services.
Yeah, because I think there's the icon has two different states. There's one where it means something has accessed a location recently, and then another one that says something is being accessed right now.
Yes. Yeah, so you have the solid arrow and the outline arrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So cool. All right. So now you wrote an article yesterday that talks about all of this stuff. So I'm going to make sure there's a link to that in the show notes. And okay. And I know these are privacy tips for the paranoid, but I'm going to tell myself I'm not paranoid, but I still think these are really great ideas.
Yeah.
So thank you for writing that.
I even mentioned too in the part about tracking. I mean, if you're paranoid, you're not going to trust anything. But if you want to do that balancing act between convenience and privacy, like I said, I personally think that the analytics that Apple does is good. I turn that on because I'm fairly confident that Apple isn't going to use that information and build some advertising profile about me. Mm-hmm. So
basically we're not looking at this as it's binary. You have to have everything off. Everything on. You can go and selectively disable location services, and depending on what you want to block or what you're comfortable letting through.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll make sure there's a link to this in the show notes today, so people can go and look at all of your tips and look at them, even if you're not paranoid, because you'll probably find something that you want to try for yourself. So thanks for writing that up, Andrew.
Uh-huh. And one more thing, besides the iOS settings, there's another section where you can use some third-party apps, like encrypted email, for example.
Ah, cool. And that's in your piece?
Uh-huh.
Awesome. All right. Well, then I'm going to go back and check that out, because I have a feeling that that's going to be a cool thing for me. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And I said at the beginning of the show, I've been pretty happy with them. And the reason I said that is because, well, it's true. What they do is go out and find like really high quality stock video, stock audio, and stock image content. And then they put it together in these websites that make sense. So it's actually so much easier to find what you're looking for compared to some of the other services that I've used. And as an example, there was an article that I wrote a week or so ago where I wanted to have a picture of a person running in a city. So that's what I searched for. And I came up initially with like a crazy amount of stuff. And I used the little filter buttons at the top of that search to narrow it down to urban night, I think it was. And all of a sudden I had like 25 images to choose from. And it was great because then I could just look at the list and I went, yeah, that's the one I want. And I added it to the graphic I was making and it was awesome. It took only a couple minutes for me to find exactly what I wanted, download it. I had a high resolution, high quality image. And I just put it into my article, and it worked great. So the content that VideoBlocks has, it's royalty-free, so you can use it for personal or commercial. It's not a problem. And the price for their service, when I first saw the price, I was pretty sure it was a typo. Turns out, no, it's not. $149 per year for all of the content you can download. And so the way it's set up, they have the three services, video, audio, and image. So it would be $149 per service. But what they've done is put together their triple bundle just for our daily observations listeners. So what you guys can do is head over to their website, which is videoblocks.com/TDO. And you can take advantage of this special offer, the triple bundle, where you get all the video, audio, and images for the price of one of the services. So that's $149 for all three services for a whole year. All the content that you can download, and it's royalty free. You need to take advantage of this soon, though, because this offer ends at the end of December. So you only have a few weeks to take advantage of this. So hop to it. Don't procrastinate, because it's an awesome deal and you don't want to miss out. So here's what you need to do. Go to videoblocks.com/TDO to get all the stock video, audio, and images you can imagine for just $149. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks. .com/TDO. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about is something that came up because I don't think it's a secret that I'm really kind of into Lego. Excuse me. And
Oh my God.
I know.
Really?
I know. I totally No idea. Well, Lego has a new app that's coming out for the iPhone and iPad today that uses ARKit, and it's called Lego AR Studio. And the short version is it lets you create these virtual models that appear as if they're actually sitting on your table. And then you can take your real Lego models that you build and set them in there too and see them all together and do some interaction stuff. And it's really cool. And it reminded me that over Thanksgiving holiday, I was playing an ARKit video game with one of my nieces, and the game is called Arise. And in that game, it gives you sort of like M.C. Escher style structures that you need to navigate this little guy through. But unlike Monument Valley, where you're spinning stuff around on the screen, in this, the game level is actually floating in front of you, like over a table. And so you can walk around it with your iPhone or iPad and figure out how to line stuff up so your little character can move. And it was really cool, but it was kind of a pain to do on my iPhone. And it got me to thinking that I really, for as cool as ARKit is on my iPhone, I'd rather do this on my iPad, like across the board. And I'm curious how you guys are feeling about ARKit and the state of the devices we're using for all these cool new AR apps that are coming out.
I will hop right into that. Okay. So I love ARKit. I love AR stuff. It's super fun. I can't wait for the Harry Potter universe Wizards Unite.
Oh yes,
to come out. I mean, you know, as many traffic accidents as Pokemon Go supposedly caused, or players who were doing Pokemon Go while they were driving and or walking supposedly caused. I think that the Harry Potter Wizards Unite is going to be even bigger.
And I think we need a new spell, Automotus Deceleratus.
Indeed. But so I love this stuff. It's all fun. The games are fun. The thing that I talked about from the Apple Park Visitor Center, where mm-hmm. you get this AR version of the entire Apple Park. This stuff is great, but I don't really want to do it on my phone either. I also don't really want to hold my iPad up. But the reason why you want to do your iPad is because it's a bigger field of vision.
Yeah, and you know that's what I really need is that big screen. Yeah.
You know, be an even bigger field of vision?
A bigger iPad?
Yes, that is one option. But an even bigger one than that would be, of course, some kind of AR glasses or goggles. Mm-hmm. And that brings me right back to Tim Cook saying that the face is not the place for wearable computing.
And then at the same time, we have all these reports about Apple's AR and VR teams and these goggle patents and they bought
a company. Yeah, we know that Apple is working. They're working on some kind of glasses or goggles project. And I mean, it's interesting. Tim Cook has never taken the Steve Jobs approach. If this was Steve Jobs that had said the face isn't the place for wearable computing, and this was all done in the run up to the release of the Apple Watch, mm-hmm. and while Google Glass was out there being a big failure. And if it had been Steve Jobs saying that, then, you know, the rest of the unsaid sentence would have been the face isn't the place for wearable computing until we do something. Mm-hmm. That would be Steve Jobs' modus operandi. That's not Tim Cook's modus operandi. But he's just flat wrong about the face being the place for wearable computing when it comes to AR and or VR. Because mm-hmm. we, generally speaking, experience AR and VR through our face. Right? Through our eyes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, until we have contact lenses or then eventually some kind of implant where things can be directly projected onto our vision process inside our heads, until we have that sort of technology, which is, you know, decades at least out, mm-hmm. the face is the place for wearable computing, especially when it comes to AR and VR.
And I think you're right, because the notion of walking around with my iPad held up all the time so I can do augmented reality, I'm not going to do that. It's really cool, but it becomes a limited use thing for me right now because the screen is too bulky, even though it gives me the size that I want.
Yeah, right. The device is too bulky to be holding up in front of her face for long periods of time, I think.
I agree. So for right now, what that means is that AR content that I'm consuming is limited almost exclusively to entertainment, something that I can do for a few minutes. And when I'm either bored with what I'm doing or I'm tired of holding up an iPad, I can stop and go on to do something else. But it would be cool to be able to make all of this AR content more pervasive so that I could do things like be at a conference. And when I walk up to talk to someone, I get the information about our last email exchanges, so I remember what conversation I need to jump into or what product they're going to talk to me about.
Okay, let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
What that's really for is when you go to some kind of meeting or presentation or something like that, you can watch porn.
I thought that's what I just implied.
that sort of information about people, like having people's names. This is technically something that Google Glass could have led to. Mm-hmm. And having this additional information imposed over what you're seeing is, of course, it surprises me that Google actually stopped Glass when they did.
On one hand, I agree with you. On the other hand, I don't, because I think Google Glass was exactly what Google was telling us from the beginning, which was this is an experiment. And I think that the experiment ran its course, and whether that was they got the data they wanted or it hit a point where they decided it wasn't worth spending the money. And so then it shifted and now it's not this big thing anymore, and we'll see it come back in other ways.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm glad it's gone. Oh, Andrew, you started to talk. I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
Oh, that's fine. So my thought about this is, I think it was last week, we found or saw that Apple had filed a patent on, what was it, like gesture-based interface?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why patent that if not for augmented reality? Because I guess what I'm picturing is someone wearing the glasses and being able to wave your hands around in the air and control AR elements.
Yeah, that seems like a totally logical use for a gesture-based system like that.
Yeah.
And what Apple was showing in their patent, and of course, obfuscation is modus operandi when you're doing patents. They were showing it as a sort of interface for a Mac, so you could interact with content on your computer without having to touch the keyboard or mouse.
Yeah.
But it totally makes sense for it to be part of AR as well.
Yeah, because the reason they don't want to put a touch screen on the Mac is because they say your arm will get tired touching a screen. Well, your arm is going to get tired waving around in the air, too.
That's true. Oh. Yeah. And the notion of having fingerprints all over my Mac screen, it's not something that I look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in the meantime, I'm going to be just complaining periodically, saying things like, AR is hard because my iPad's heavy, and I'll just have to suck it up and live with that until Apple gives us some really cool AR interface alternative. Hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Good stuff.
Yeah, loads of fun. Andrew, I'm so glad you're here as well.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on the show. It's also great that VideoBlocks has been our sponsor all week. Head over to their website, like, as soon as the show is done. So go to videoblocks.com/TDO so you can get that triple bundle package where you get the video, audio, and image services all for just $149 for the year. All the content that you can access, it's a really great deal. But do it soon because this ends at the end of December. VideoBlocks.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see you again on Monday.